Good morning. What a great God we serve. Amen. He is so good, so mindful of us. I am so grateful and thankful for the goodness of God. I appreciate the opportunity that He gives us to be able to spend the time with Him, to learn more about Him. He's good to us. And I'm so glad God doesn't leave us in our mistakes of understanding who He is. He's a great God. He deserves to be praised and honored. And our level of praise and our level of honor is going to be based on our understanding of who He is, acknowledging who He is, giving Him the praise and the glory that He deserves. And truly, we must do that. That's something that is a must. I don't think that in any way we need to just come to some small understanding of who God is. I think we ought to open up our understanding. Open up the Word of God and say, God, what you got to show me. But I believe that over the years, we have not understood God the way we should have. Remember, I shared with you during the course, and we're going to be referring back to what we started with. We've been talking about God's glory. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. We was talking about how God's glory is underived. God's glory is underived. He said, my glory I'll not give to another. My glory I'll not give to another. We have to praise and we have to worship the glory of God. The glory we give God. What kind of glory are we giving Him? Then we talked about God's goodness is His glory. The goodness of God. And just that alone, we could keep going on that. That was just, again, just laying out a format of what God wants us to understand. So what we're doing here is we're going to just come off of that stuff that we shared and refer back to it over and over. But you remember I read to you that Job had some friends. Remember that? Job had some friends when Job was going through all his difficulty and all of the situations that Job was facing. There were some, it was pretty bad in his life. I mean, he went through some difficulty. I don't know if I've ever met a person in my lifetime who's been through all the stuff that Job went through all at that time, just a short period of time. I met people who had circumstances and situations and some bad things happen. But not anybody like Job. I mean, everything just went bad all at one time. And so he had three friends that came and was going to encourage him. And then the Lord, after they said all that they said, the Lord said that that all of these guys that have spoken, He said, they haven't spoken right about me. They said things, but they didn't speak the truth about me. Now, I'm just wondering about that. You know, we have Job's friends talking, and they're saying a lot of stuff because there's a lot of words that they speak in the book of Job. But He said, they haven't spoken right about me. And I'm thinking about that all the time. I'm wondering, are we speaking right about God? Are we saying the right things about God? Or have we just said what everybody else said? Are we really looking into the Scripture and finding out what is the things we're supposed to say about God? How amazing is God? How incredible is God? What is God responsible for? What does He do? What's the task that God had before Him? Are we really speaking right about Him? So He told Job to tell his friends, He says, my wrath is against them. And something happened to them. We don't know exactly what happened. Maybe they got sick too. Job, because Job was in it. I mean, he had boils all over his body. And he said, you tell them to make a sacrifice. 7 bullocks and 7 rams and make a sacrifice for what they said wrong about me, because they spoke wrong about me. And he said, and I'll hear your prayer. That's what he told Job. I'm going to hear what you, when you pray. And so they had to, that it really, whatever it was, and we go back and study it, they were saying things about God that wasn't true about God. They weren't, if you read the text, I mean, you'd think some of those things are some pretty powerful statements that they made. But when God looked at them, God says, that's not true. When you're talking maybe God this or maybe God that, I'm wondering if he's looking at what we say maybe about God. And what God thinks about what we've said. When we go to explain God to somebody. If I go to explain to somebody and say, listen, don't worry about anything. God is love, and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to do anything. He loves you. Don't worry about anything. Am I speaking truth about God? Well, I'm saying that God is love, because God is love. But he's more than just love. He's also our judge. He's our authority. Do you understand that? And we have to respect God. We have to honor God. We have to glorify God. And so I have to make sure that I'm speaking right about God and everything. And that's something that's I think it's a great task for us. And so I want to share one more. There's so many aspects of God. But on this one right here, I want to just start something. Today's going to be the start of something that I'm telling you, there ain't no turning around from it. When we step into this, there's so much incredible, wonderful works of God that it's mind-blowing. It's hard to get your mind around how incredible God is. And we ought to speak that way about God. There's too much of people saying, well, my God and your God and their God is all the same God. So we have to analyze what we say about our God and analyze what everybody else says about their God, and then we draw a conclusion, you know, we're talking about the same God. I want to submit to you that we're talking about different gods. And if we're talking about different gods, we better know which one we're talking about. You say, how can we know God? Well, it's simple. And I'm going to say this often, you're going to hear me say this. The Word of God is the only authority we have. I want you to think about that. There's a lot of things that we can use for authority. But I'm telling you, as believers in the one most high God. Now, I want to emphasize that to you. I really do. As believers, I pray that's what you're here for. You've come here today together, and we're believers of the one most high God. What does that mean? That means we're saying our God is different than any other God. God said about himself, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Think about that. So how could I agree with somebody if we're sitting together and we're talking about the gods being all the same? How can we agree on that? We ought to be careful in this. How many is familiar with Hillsongs? Hillsongs worship. That's pretty popular, right? Do you know that there was a quote where Hillsongs and the church that they come out of, the pastor there, and I can show it to you, I'm not making this up, where they said this on stage. The Islamic God and our God are the same gods. I'm just wondering what type of congregation you're trying to appeal to. I'm going to say it again. They said that Islamic God that they call Allah And our God that we call the Most High God, at least I'm calling Him the Most High, they said they're the same. They call Him Allah, we call Him Yahweh. Now I want you to think about that and take that home with you and figure that out. I want you to spend some time and you try to figure it out. You trace back. Listen, we have the computer age and it's a lot of stuff on there that's a bunch of hogwash. But there are some things that if you take your time and you really investigate it, you can get to some truths. It's a lot better than the news, I can tell you that. Listen, how much of the news you should believe? Everybody see that? Even your favorite, what we people so-called their more conservative Fox News. If you ask me, they're more scheming and conniving than CNN. What I mean by being sneaky, just slithering around you. Before you know it, they're in bed with you. That's a scary feeling to me. I don't want to be in bed with no snake. That make you get up on it. Well, it's time for us to get up. You got to be careful. But I'm going to say it again, what was said on the platform. They're the same God. I'm just wondering if you think God thinks that. You think God's okay with that? I'm going to say it again. He said to Job's friend, "You have not spoken right about me. You've spoke wrong about me." And I'm telling you, we better get with it. We better figure it out. We better start speaking right about the one Most High God. The one Most High God. We got to speak right about it. I think it's important. So I want you to keep that in mind. I said to the Lord, I said, "You know, God," I said, "I work on this stuff, and it doesn't make a difference if I show a slideshow or not." I said, "What really matters to me is what do you want said. That's what really matters. It doesn't really make a difference. I don't have to have a presentation. But one thing I do know, I want to speak right about you. What does your word say?" And this is the only authority that we have is the word of God. So we got to use it. Well, it's amazing that in the word, how many times it's tried to be changed and altered and you know, just maligned with so all sorts of deception. So you got to be careful in everything you do. That's why he said study. Study. So we read the scripture. We go back. And let me tell you, the information age that we are in, I think is a gift. And we can use, there's a lot of people use it for evil, but we can use it for our good. In a very short period of time, you can learn a lot of information. And then you check that information, you check it by the Word of God, and then you recheck it. You got to check what you read and find out what God is saying. And then let the Lord deal with you. And, you know, when, and as He deals with you, you try to reject it. And then God will re-deal with you because He's getting you to realize this is the truth right here. Because let me tell you, in a world we live in, how do you know what's right and what's not? What's real anymore? What is real anymore? Because we have so much deception that goes on in our society. And that deception is in the church. Anytime I'm trying to get God on a level of what man describes their God to be, then there's issues there. Before all of that stuff was written, listen, before that was written, we have a God who says beside Him there's none. I'm God, He said. Why would you think He would repeat those things throughout the scripture? Because that's been a fight ever since the devil, Satan, says, "I'm going to build my kingdom above your kingdom. My throne will be above your throne." So I want to tell you, Satan can't create anything. You ought to have your pens writing that down. Satan cannot create anything. He is not a creator. I know who the creator is. Who's the creator? God is the creator. Satan can't create anything, but he can duplicate. Are you hearing me? He can take what is, what's real, and duplicate it. And if it's, listen, if it's a duplication of it, is it the original? No, it's not the original. Who's the original? God's the only original. Everything else is Satan trying to replicate God. Everything at every level too. Even to the point of a God being the same. That's why we got our top ministers in the nation who get on these airwaves and public television where millions of people are watching, and they'll say things like there are many ways to get to God. When the Bible clearly says that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He says, no man can go to the Father but by me. So when that is brought up on an Oprah Winfrey show, some Christian lady's got enough God in her to say, oh no, the Bible says Jesus is the only way. And they said, now look, oh, everybody was against her. Now look, lady, we're not eliminating Jesus, but he ain't the only. What? You see, we still going to include your Jesus and your God, but we want to include our Messiah and our God. That sounds like the devil replicating to me. That's what it sounds like to me. And he told Job's friends, you have not spoken right about me. My wrath is against you. We got to speak right about God and not be ashamed. And whatever the consequences are, so be it. Did Jesus speak right about the Father? Did he speak right about the Father? What about the apostles? Did they not speak right about God? They did, and they were persecuted for it. So listen, you might be persecuted, but I won't stick with the side. I'm going to speak right about God. I'm going to say the things that need to be said about God. Because I believe we owe it to God. The one that we cry out to, the one that we pray to, the one that we sing these songs to, all of that, we don't just want to be going through the motions. We want to speak right about God. Very important. That's why we have folks doing what they do, saying what they're saying. Folks just make comments like this, well, I got to be like them so I can win them. And to misquote scripture. They'll take a scripture like Paul says, I'm going to be all things to all people that I might win some. Well, he's not saying you got to be like them. He's not saying you got to conform to them. Do you understand that? He didn't mind being in their presence, but he wasn't going to go there and conform to what their mottos were, their ideas, their philosophies. And that's a problem when we go into an atmosphere, and instead of us being the light in that darkness, we leave and we're confused and dazed because somebody done knocked us over the head and told us there's more than one God. You're going in, you're laying down your weapons. We're not understanding that. We don't go in and leave and we're all bewildered. We don't know what to think. We got to know what God's word declares and speak that word with boldness and authority and stand. And if persecution comes, then so be it. You're going to stand upon what's truth. And thy word, Lord, thy word is truth. And there's a lot of so many things, so many years of confusion and subtleties that Satan has plotted and put into the church. It just absolutely amazes me. So we got to get back to the scripture and get back to the word of God and realize this is the only authority we have. So I'm just going to look at this. God at work. Now, there's a big difference when you talk about other gods. They talk about gods, but nobody talks about their God at work. They don't talk about them doing anything besides something that's been replicated out of the Bible. If you look at the Quran, a lot of the things in the Quran is written from the Holy Scripture. It's taken from the Bible. Why is that? I mean, if your God's doing this, he don't need another book to write his book. Why is that? Because it's all about replicating, and then in between those quotes from the Bible, we insert a verse here and there and so forth, and then so we can put our own philosophy in it and then take a whole group of people in the opposite direction, really, from God, not to God. And this is how these ideas get started. And so we've been warned time and time again to be careful in that. Be very careful that we don't conform. We're not conforming. We transform. We're being transformed. Something's happening on the inside of us. And that's what we're going to be dealing with in this particular start of this series. And I'm just saying to the Lord, I was saying again this morning, God, whatever you want to do with this, that's what I want. But let's look at it just for a moment. Kind of get us started. God at work. God at work. Think about that. Almighty God. Look at the next one. This is God at work. We're going to look at God's DNA. God's DNA. Now, when we're talking about the Most High God, sometimes when we start describing him or looking at his word, it's something about it. It's something about God, and God, this is one thing about God that I love to talk about. God doesn't have to wait for an event to happen or to transpire or to manifest in order for him to gain insight. You know, a person who prophesies after they heard something or seen something, that's not real prophecy. What if you was nowhere to be found, you didn't see or hear anything, and you spoke a word, and it came to pass? That's something. Well, that's God. What I see going around is people are saying things, and they're making claims, but those claims are after facts. And then we got some people who prophesy, and they say things that's crazy, and if you prophesy enough, let me show you what I mean. If I say, tomorrow, I'm declaring it's going to rain. I don't need to watch the news. I just know the Lord is telling me tomorrow it's raining. And I just leave you like that, all right? And you get up and say, man, sun shined all day long. It didn't rain at all. And I said, oh, but you didn't understand me. I meant it was going to rain over in another state. See, I got it right to me. But I made you to believe that it was going to do it here. And if I say stuff long enough and I just keep doing it, I'm bound to get one thing right. But what about the 99 things I got wrong? And folks, they'll just let that slide. He got it right. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's a man of God right there. He got it right. 99 things you predict wrong, but the one you got right, that elevates you. And that's how people are today. We get sucked into that kind of stuff. Sucked into somebody. Man, I'm telling you, there's something going on there. There's something happening there. When we overlook the deceptions, we overlook the doctrines that are not found in the Scripture, and we sit through it and we believe in everything that somebody's saying. That's why I told you, listen, when a man gets up and he says, listen, you don't need your Bible, just listen to what I'm going to say. Really? You know what I'm telling you? Get your Bible. Go home and check everything else I say out. Check it out. Find out if it's true or not. Shouldn't we? Dig into the Word of God. Find out. So when we're looking at God's DNA, we're looking at God's plan, how God put things together. It's absolutely amazing. Now, nobody else can figure this out. But God has. God has placed everything in its position, in its perfectly in its position. And so we want to see that. I think I have a few more. An ancient description of DNA, that's what we'll be looking at in just a little bit. I'll go to the next one. This description of DNA was written by King David about 3,000 years ago. And I'm going to look at some verses of scripture dealing with that. But before I do that, play that short video and let them just see. I'm going to get you to think about, this is a video of what we know now, what we've learned over the years. We discovered DNA, the discovery of it and all that happened in the 50s. And then they started really, and then the human genome, the genetics of a human being, and the discovery of it, and reading the human genetics, all went on between the United States and Britain. It all came to a finish or kind of the preliminary results in the year 2000 under President Bill Clinton. And that announcement was made. So I want you to know that there's a lot of discoveries went on. But here's some of the things that through animation, and this is the molecular, I can't even see it back there, visualization of the DNA. And the main thing I want you to think about is DNA wrapping. DNA wrapping. And when you think about that, I want you to think about a scroll. A scroll. How many know that when we have, when it talks about a book in the Old Testament, it don't mean one like this. All right? This is a binded book. In the Old Testament, when it talks about book, it's a scroll. It's rolled up. It's rolled up. And so they could unroll part of it and roll it and keep going. And a lot of information could be put on a scroll. How many have ever seen a scroll? You understand what I'm saying? It's a scroll. So I want you to think about it. It's rolled up. So look at this. It's just a short clipping, and then I'll continue.
In this animation, we'll see the remarkable way our DNA is tightly packed up so that 6 feet of this long molecule fits into the microscopic nucleus of every cell. The process starts when DNA is wrapped around special protein molecules called histones. The combined loop of DNA and protein is called a nucleosome. Next, the nucleosomes are packaged into a thread. The end result is a fiber known as chromatin. This fiber is then looped and coiled yet again. Leading finally to the familiar shapes known as chromosomes, which can be seen in the nucleus of dividing cells. Chromosomes are not always present. They form around the time cells divide when the two copies of the cell's DNA need to be separated. Using computer animation based on molecular research, we are now able to see how DNA is actually copied in living cells. You are looking at an assembly line of amazing miniature biochemical machines that are pulling apart the DNA double helix and cranking out a copy of each strand. The DNA to be copied enters the production line from bottom left. The whirling blue molecular machine is called helicase. It spins the DNA as fast as a jet engine as it unwinds the double helix into two strands. One strand is copied continuously and can be seen spooling off to the right. Things are not so simple for the other strand, because it must be copied backwards. It is drawn out repeatedly in loops and copied one section at a time. The end result is two new DNA molecules.
Thank you so much. Just to get you to understand, that's what's going on in your body. Constantly going on. So, and so the other day after I was putting some of the study together, I said, I'm going to take some time and pray. And I said this to the Lord. I said, God, every one of those little machines in me cry out to you that you are the only one Most High God. Every one of them, every cell in my body, cry out to you. You're the one Most High God. If anything happened to that process, there's no develop. The things don't work. Things shut down. So we're talking about the Almighty God. When he started, he put a plan together. And that plan is absolutely amazing to me. And David tapped into this. And I shared a little bit with you just a while back when I was talking to you. I don't know, it might have been 2 weeks ago or maybe last week a little bit I might have shared with you. But I want you to look at this. What was tapped into when David got a hold to this and the Lord began to deal with him concerning this. Psalms 139, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to look at this carefully. Now, I read some of the beginning parts of this. We sort of went through the whole chapter quickly. We run through it. But I want to focus on this portion right here, and let it speak to you. Let's see exactly what he's saying, what God is doing when we look at this. It says in 14, this is David, and I want you to see this understanding. Now, we just got a hold to this in the 50s. It really got developed. The Human Genome Project, again, was announced on television, broadcast in 2000. Bill Clinton was there. He had our guy and the British guy. One on each side, Tony Blair in Britain, done the same presentation. They flew him over there, and they did the same. Maybe you've seen that. In the year 2000, it was announced that we now have the Human Genome Project complete. We understand the structure and the cells of the body and the DNA. Well, let me tell you, David, he didn't have a microscope. He didn't have the supercomputers. I watched the whole documentary of how they done the discovery of the Human Genome Project. I watched the documentary on it and how they put all this together. They had supercomputers that they have to count this lettering system. And as we go along in this, I'll be able to explain more to you. I don't want to bore you with some biology class, but I just want you to understand that we're talking about an amazing God here. It took years, and without computers, it would almost be impossible for them to understand what was happening inside us and how to see there's a genetic code and a language built in our DNA. And so we have a lot of the top scientists who are atheists who say there's no way that this could have happened by chance. It couldn't have happened by chance. There's got to be a designer. Think about that. Now, some people, it takes a lot of information for them to understand that there's a designer out there. And so what we do is we hear a message, we come to the Lord through Christ Jesus, but we still got a battle going on, and we still fight, and this is the fight that I believe is fought by a lot of people. They're still in the balance about the one Most High God. Because once you believe him to be that one Most High God, there's absolutely nothing, there's not a trick that the enemy could put against you that would cause you in any way for the slightest second to doubt that you serve the one Most High God, because it becomes real to you. It absolutely becomes real to you. Does that mean you won't make a mistake? No, you'll make mistakes, but you're quickly going to repent of that mistake the moment you know you make it, and you'll fall on your face because you know there is nothing else to fix you besides that one Most High God. David was a prime example of that. So he tapped into something, and he gives us that information here. But the Human Genome Project and all of the countless hours and days and all of that it took to try to get to some understanding, they figured out, you know what, this is complex. This is absolutely amazing. The human body, the genetics in the human body, we can tell, listen, do you know that we're basically 99% all alike? It's just the little things that make up our change in how we look. It's amazing how God wrote it all out before he ever started. Our top scientists, biggest and best computers, biggest and best. Bill Gates made a comment. His comment was this. He said, the Genome Project, after looking at the evidence, he said, it's like a computer program unlike anything we've ever seen. And this is the man, we're talking about Bill Gates here. He said, it's unlike anything we've ever seen. So it took one computer. They had to build one program. And then through that program, they was able to start duplicating those programs to get bigger and faster and more advanced technology. But it started with something small, and they had to use that, maximize what they had discovered to get something bigger. But we're talking about God speaking to David in a shepherd's field with none of this advancement. Just him and God. And I'm just going to show you how God can reveal himself if we'll just seek the Lord. If we'll seek God to reveal himself to us, he can. And so David's out there and he begins to write as the Spirit gives inspiration to him. He's inspired. And he says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. He said, I'm not confused about it. I see it clearly. See, my soul knows it well. I think that he's got some type of revelation here. I'm thinking God unfolded something to him. He understood, you know, because I've been after what? Remember when we first started, I talked about David and how a young boy can go up and snatch up bears and lions and stand before a giant, and he just marches forward. And you know, we try to use those stories because we want to psych people up, get their faith going, tell them, look, we're going to, you know, he did it, you could do it. But he did it based on a relationship. I'm convinced that we don't need to kind of tail off of somebody else's hype and excitement. We need to get a relationship going with God, understand who the Most High God is. And that's what he said. He said, you come to me with weapons. You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you. I come to you in the name of the Most High God. I understand who he is, and I know who I am, because what he said, I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Look at the next verse. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Think about that. You're talking about him stepping into something that nobody's been talking about. I'm skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. I want you to think about that. Go to the next one. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. This is what he says about God now. I want you to get this. What is David saying about God? He's saying about God, you have seen my unformed substance. He's talking about it now. He's acknowledging God. He's praising God. He's giving the glory to God. But he's saying, God, I know deep down in my soul that you, God, have seen my unformed substance. And in your book, in your scroll, were all written. There's no doubt when they were searching out the discovery that they have many statements. I could give you many statements, many quotes from many top scientists that they said that the DNA is a genetic code. One will say it's a written code. And there's no doubt it's a written code. I'm just telling you, in your book were all written. In your scroll were all written. David's telling God, before I exist, before I was formed, you had wrote my code down. My genetic code was written in your book. Talking about the Most One High God. There's a big difference. You know, you can search all over. You're not going to find one to compare to the one I'm talking about. The one I'm sharing with you, the one I'm telling you about, the Most High God, that's the one we ought to get excited about. That's the one you're serving every day. That's the one I'm committed to. That's the one I'm in relationship with. And we get that relationship through the only begotten, unique Son of God. That's how we get it. But watch what he says. He says, in your book were all written the days that are ordained for me. And that word there, well, I think I underlined it for this reason. The NSAB uses the word ordained, but most of the translations, when you look at it, they're talking about the days in that were fashioned or formed for me. When as yet there was not one of them. Think about it. See, sometimes we got to read this stuff and just let. We're talking about God's DNA here. God's plan. Remember we started out, when I started the glory, he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And the first thing I talked about was the plan of God. And when I was talking about the plan, you know, we could look at plans, and you can have plans, and you can speak of plans, and you can speak of those plans in just a broad way of speaking of plans. You ever made plans to go to town? And maybe you're telling somebody, you say, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I plan to go to town. That's a broad way of saying, but you don't tell them that I'm going to stop at State Hall, I'm going to get me a cup of coffee, I'm going to fill up with gas, I'm going to go to the, you know, the hamburger place, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to Walmart, I'm going to buy cat food and dog food and you understand my point? You just said I'm going to town tomorrow. You gave them a broad description, but you're not detailing it out. Well, we know the broad description about God, and he's the one Most High God, but what when we start this thing getting into the description of what he did? So remember we talked about God. He's underived. The glory of God is underived. Unoriginated. We're talking about before anything, there's God. And in God's plan, before he starts creating anything, in his scroll is written the code of every human thing. The code is written. And David tapped into that. He said, Lord, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Think about that. God, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. You've seen that genetic makeup of before I was even born. You saw it. You remember what he says to Jeremiah? He says, when you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. And he picked him and ordained him as a prophet in the womb. And we can understand, you know, we can sort of get our minds. Is that still difficult to get your mind wrapped around that God knew him in his mother's womb? But in his mother's womb, we know there's a living being in there. It's alive. But David takes this thing past the womb. Let me give it to you this way. When he says, "You've seen my unformed substance," he's talking about my mama wasn't born yet. My daddy wasn't born yet. Their mama and daddy wasn't born yet. And on and on and on. And he said, "Your eyes seen my unformed substance." We're talking about Almighty God here. The Most High God. We got to speak right about God. So before you and I existed, as we see ourselves, God saw. You say, "Well, you mean to tell me David, God saw his unformed substance? You think that is cool? Let me unroll a scroll for you." Justine, Scott, Josh, Miss Jerry. You don't think David just tapped into something and he had the only one with it, Herman. Wow. Are you hearing me? He unrolled a scroll. Malachi. You're getting this. Your genetic makeup, he already saw it. That's amazing to me. I know the devil thinks he's got control, but I want to tell you, when he can't control God. Do you understand? And we kind of got God whittled down way too small on some equal plane with the devil. And somehow, maybe, God might lose. So if we think he's going to lose, we might as well all just join together. Well, I'm going to tell you, people's being fooled by that. It's deception. There's no truth in that. Let me just tell you this. God cannot die. I heard one preacher say it this way. He said, 1,000 atomic bombs can't kill God. He got a little excited when he said that. You know, you strap them on God and let them go, and God just keeps walking and says, "What? Serious? Are you kidding me?" I'm trying to get you to understand. We got God reduced. He's way too small. He unrolls the scroll. It's in my plan here. There you are right there. I wrote it all out already. Was that a lot of information from the right? Well, you better believe it. So he writes it all out, and he knew what every little machine. Remember that starts to replicate the gene and passed on. Well, let me tell you what happened. He had to place that genetic code in somebody. So the Bible says that God said, "We're going to make man. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And he took the dust of the ground. And I often wondered about the dust of the ground, and I thought about it many times. And I've been thinking about it more often than I have in the past. And I'm just wondering, he's got dust, and then it's got to be pliable. So he's going to mix it with something. He helps us out with this. Let me read a few more verses, and then I'll come back to talking about this. Let's see where we'll go with this. Go to the next one. Can you see? Anybody see that? I just put a few pictures up there. Just just I found them online. It was looked neat to me. You know, I did this one because when he creates the one before that, when he created the universe from nothing, and he created the universe, which is in itself absolutely amazing. When I consider the works of thy hands, when I consider what you did, when you create the cosmos, he asks the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? I got a better answer for that now. What is man? Are you kidding me? Man in his own right, you as a person, you're so complex and so amazing and wonderfully made. You want to know why God's mindful of you? He spent a lot of time writing down all the code in order for you and I to be able to stand. How many do you give that? We don't just get here by ourselves. And I know old Darwin, he would, you know, he would just, I'm pretty sure he's pretty upset about the whole DNA discovery. I mean, they understand there's no way this could have evolved. What's the chance in all of those genetic codes just by chance happening to fit right where they needed to fit? Just for one person to live. Not to mention everybody. But we're talking about Almighty God here, the Most High God. And I think that's something that we need to grab hold to and understand. The next one is what I'll talk about. I'm going to skip a few of these. And I want you to go to 12. I want you to you just get a picture of that. We'll go to slide 12. And I want to read that verse of Scripture. Job 10, verse 8 through 10. Your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Your hands fashioned and made me altogether. And would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay. We're going to talk about, because remember, he takes the dust of the ground and he's going to form man in his image and his likeness. And then he's got to form man, and that's just laying there. And so we're talking about how this happens, how this transpired. Did he form Job? Did he form Job out of clay? No, Job was born. Was he not? He's got a mom, and Job was born. What is he talking about then? He said, your hands fashioned and made me all together. Are y'all hearing me? And would you destroy me? Remember now that you, talking about God, you have made me as clay. As clay. And you turned me into, and would you turn me into what again? Yes. Are you getting this? Would you turn me into dust again? What did he start with? He took the dust of the ground. And he began to form man. Something he added to that. If you take dust, it's like a powder, and you add something to it, it becomes a clay. What do you add to it? Water. What is mostly in our body? Water. Is anybody getting this? Watch verse 10. Did you not pour me out like... What? Anybody ever pour milk? But I like the next part. Uh-oh. Then did what? And curdled me like cheese. I'm just talking about Almighty God here. He's absolutely amazing. He did all of that. So I want you to get this picture. He pulls the dust together, adds in the liquid, starts molding it just like, isn't he not called the potter? I want to know if he's called the potter in the Scripture. And what does he call us? The what? The clay. What does Job say he was? Clay. And cheese, if you want to go with that one. But No, but just he was just showing that so that people can understand. Because they dealt with cheese and they dealt with milk and curdling. And they knew all of that, understanding. And if you've seen that process, I've been fortunate to see that with Brother Ivan. I wouldn't have known about that because I never would have seen it. But if you go up to Ohio, go to Indiana, I've seen this process where they have these big vats and they just go sweep back and forth. There's just milk in it, and all of a sudden, something starts happening. Curls. And there's, so I'm just want, sometimes you got to just think about God. And every time he formed every little part, a DNA code was written. Was he following something? He was following his scroll. Yep, that's how it goes right there. Wait. Like, you got it right there. Yes, that's the foot, yep. You know, if you're missing one of those DNA links in the time of birth, the foot won't grow right, the eye won't grow right, the ear won't grow right. There's a genetic code for each one of those parts. Each one of those parts. That's amazing God, the Most High God. And we have to make sure we take that in consideration. So he's forming Adam, and he's going off of a plan that he'd already put in place. Something that he'd already taken care of. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. That's what David said. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Already written. That's amazing to me. Go to the next one. Ecclesiastes 11:5. Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Do you see that? It's hard to get your mind around how when a baby's in the womb. Lift your hands, all the women here who you had a baby in the womb. All right? You had a baby. Means you was pregnant. I'd not have one in the womb right now. I'm just saying you had a baby. Let me tell you, inside your womb, what's going on is that all those, from the time of that conception, the DNA is written. It transfers from one person into the other person, and the code is written. And that cell's there, and then the cell starts to do it, just what I showed you, and it starts duplicating and replicating. And it's got to do all of that. And all of a sudden, the ear DNA, the eye, boom, 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 all that goes into place. And speed it up. And then the baby, when it's born, has 305 bones in its skeletal frame. And a human being, an adult, only has 205. Just saying, God, he don't play around. Because some of those bones, as they grow, they fuse together to make the adult skeleton. But when they're a baby, they have 100 more than an adult. Just as you do not know the path of the wind or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman. We don't know that. We didn't know that, but God knew it. God said when they're born, I'm going to have to give them 305 because when they get older, I have 205. That was in the genetic code. So I'm going to make more in this genetic code, then they won't know that. See, there's something that you don't know. You say, if you read it at first, you say, okay, we got to make, I'm going to replicate God. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make them with 305, and we didn't realize that God had them. They're still working and fuse them together to make the frame that's going to support the human being. It's amazing. All that through your genetics, and it's been written in advance. That's what David was getting at. He said, you wrote this in advance. Your eyes seen my unformed substance. God's eyes saw it. And so something that we have to take into consideration. I mean, if you're going to praise God and be excited about God, you got to know some things about God so you can give him a good shout. Mostly we praise him off of our own experience and what he's done for us. I'm telling you, if you got a visitation from an angel tonight, and the angel said, go to such and such a place and get you a shovel, dig a hole, and you dig the hole, there's going to be a golden box. You dig the golden box out, and there's going to be $1 million in the golden box. You come to church the next Sunday with your shovel, your golden, well, maybe not your golden box, you might leave that home, but you'd come and say, hey, God is good. Right? Because you got a different understanding about God done something for you, and so now you're praising him based on what he done for you. What I'm telling you here is we don't praise God for what he's done for us that makes us happy now. We got to go back and say, God, you're absolutely awesome because of who you are. Before I was born, you saw my unformed substance. You deserve the glory. Who am I to dictate what glory God gets? His glory is underived. His glory is his goodness. This is part of the goodness of God. We ought to praise him for it and exalt him for who he is. Amen? Look at the next one. Isaiah 64, verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 64, verse 7 and 8. There is no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquity. They were in trouble here. If you read that verse, listen to it again. There is no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquity. I just love how the next verse starts. But now. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. Am I talking to anybody here today? Is he your Father? But now, O Lord, you are our Father. And watch this. And we are the what? The clay. And you are the potter, and all of us are the works of your hands. That's what I'm declaring. I'm declaring that right there. I'm telling you, life is empty. It's void. It's darkness without God. And he said, that we're surrounded. We have nothing. Back up to that next verse again. Let's read that. That's not the state I want to be in. I don't want to be here. There is no one who calls on your name, who arouses him to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquity. I don't want to be in that state, in that condition. But now, that's what I want to be, but now, everybody say, but now. This is so important that we grab hold to look at that next verse. He says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. Is anybody in here in agreement with me? You are our Father. That's so important. We are the clay. And you are the potter. And I think we have to make sure we get that correct. My unformed substance, he took the scroll and he said, there you are right there. When he made Adam, Adam, when he was made by God, God formed, he took the unformed substance, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And God, so he put everything in place. There it is. I'm looking at what I wrote the code. There he is. And then I'm going to animate him. Now I'm going to breathe into him the breath of life. And when he did that, man became a human being. Wow. What is that human being capable of? It's capable of reproducing after its own kind. That human being is capable of reproducing after its own kind. Did God have to recreate the DNA? No, not yet. That's coming. But right now in Adam, we have God's DNA, and it's absolutely perfect. There's no mutation in that DNA. That human being, Adam, is absolutely perfect. There's no flaw at all. Anybody ever see people? We got flaws. You look at me, I'm not perfect. I'm not talking about in my morals or my understanding. I'm talking about my body is not perfect. Anybody ever see other people that they have imperfections in their body? They're born, they got defects. I want you to know that Adam, there was no mutation, there was no defects. It was perfect DNA written by God, coded by God. There it is. So then God causes a sleep to come on Adam. And out of his side, from a rib, when he takes that rib, what's in that rib that we know now? We know now that in that rib there's something. What's in that rib? The DNA. The genetic code. Was it perfect? Yes. And he took that rib, and from that rib he formed woman. Did she have a perfect code? She had to. If you take perfect and start with perfect, you don't add anything to it but have perfect, it equals what? Perfect code. Her genetic code was perfect. What did Adam say? She shall be called Eve, for she was what? Taken from me. So now we got perfect genetics laid out. Nothing wrong with it. And I shared this with you last week, so I want you to think about this. It'll make more sense to you now. We got Adam, we got Eve. The genetic code is perfect. They have the ability to reproduce after their own kind. God already done the creation. The code's already been written. It's in the scroll. Remember that, it's in the scroll. How powerful is that? Well, I'm going to tell you, that scroll, it's got a lot of information in it. He's unrolling that scroll. And they got there's so much there. But in that process of that scroll, he sees all of that stuff that's going on, stuff that's going to happen. So Adam and Eve is there. They have the word from God. They're alive. They're able to communicate. They know everything around them's good. And God says, that tree, you can't have from that tree. You can't eat from that tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, you got to stay away from that tree. You can't have it. So Satan comes along. And Satan says to Eve, let's talk about what God said here. What did God say? What did he really mean? To me, it sounds just like what's happening in our world today. Folks are talking about, well, God didn't really mean that or say that, and this is what I think he really said, and there's a bunch of deception going on in the church world today. People are teaching all sorts of false things, and they're not lining up with the scripture. And remember what I said earlier to you. The only authority that we have is the word of God. So when somebody gets on the TV and they tell you that this is what you need to do, what we ought to do is go back to the word of God and say, well, where does it say that exactly? And you say, well, they gave me a scripture. Well, I will take that scripture and I will find out what exactly did that scripture mean. Because right there, you're having your tree moment. You're standing at your tree, and he's telling you This is what I want you, like this. Let me give you one example. I want you right now to go to your phone, and I want you to sow your $1,000 seed, because right now there's a $1,000 anointing that's on my prayer. And if you do that right now, right, I'm telling you, go right now. Quit baking those cookies. Quit vacuuming that floor. I'm telling you, go to your phone. Right? How many phones we got available? Go right now. There's an anointing here. Oh, I got a handkerchief. And this is an anointed handkerchief. We got a bottle of oil. We got stuff from Jerusalem, and we'll send it to you. You got your tree moment. God says, don't fool with that. In the moment you trust something that's not what God says, you doubt God's goodness, that what he did was perfect. And then we're living in deception from then on. Did they have a perfect code? Let's get back to that. Was the genetic code in Adam perfect? Was the one in Eve perfect? So then they got a tree moment. God didn't really say that. God knows. This is what Satan said. God knows that the day you eat of it, you'll be wise, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, I can't believe God would hold out on us. Why would he hold out on us? Now, could she have that understanding before? No, she heard something else. And then you got to line it back up with the only authority you got is the Word of God. The only authority you got. And it didn't get lined back up. And she just believed what the devil said, what the serpent said. And she said, well, all right. She takes of it. She eats of the fruit. And also gives it to her husband. He eats of the fruit. And right then and there, we got a problem with the genetic code. That's it right there. That perfect genetic code is messed up. There's a mutation in the code. It's messed up from then on. And so, you want to know what's wrong with the world? Our genetic code's been messed up from that day on. It got so bad so fast and started mutating and evil and thoughts of evil. Remember the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And man's thoughts were evilly continually. You understand that? We won't spend a lot of time here because there's part of this series that'll cover that. This is just like the intro. All the top points that we'll talk about, the introduction. But he said the man's thoughts were evil continually. And he said, I'm going to have to do something about it. So he says to Noah, you're going to have to build a boat, a big boat. Gives him the dimensions of it. He said, because I'm going to have to destroy man whom I created. I'm going to have to destroy him. Why? Because there was a lot of junk going on, and the DNA mutation that had to be passed on. Remember, it's duplicating. Machines are working. And they're having babies. It's sold into that baby. It's the same thing. And sold into the next one. And it's constantly going. It's getting evil and more evil continually. But I got one guy who kept himself. He's counting. 1, 2, 3. He counts all the millions of people. Counting them. I got one. I better do something now. So that's what God does. He says, okay, it's time we're going to do something. Comes to Noah, and he says, we got to make a move of fear. Do you understand my point? And so this is the fast, again, the intro of it. We'll come back and look at these intricately parts of all this part dealing with the DNA of God. So I'm going to speed it up, and we'll hit everything in between as we go through this series. So God says, the flood comes, Noah saved him and his family. Got 8 souls saved. They get back out, they start to replenish the earth, right? Do we still have a problem with the DNA? Absolutely. It's not as severe as it was, because he destroyed as much as he could. But we still got an issue with it. But he says, he shows us how it's a type of the plan of God to save. He saved them in the ark. So this is what God says. Let me get back down to this part here. And let me see what other verse I have there. I'll tell you if we're going to back it up or not. That's good. We'll stay right. I have a screen with a double helix on it just by itself. Just hit it. I think if you hit play, it might play it, and I'll talk, and we'll finish the service. Do you see it up on there anywhere? It might be further down. I think it may just be on mine. But think about this. So what did God do? God says, this is what I'll do. I'm going to bring a son into the world. And that son is going to be able to fix this DNA problem. So in the meantime, what did God use to help with covering people till that time? There was a liquid substance that he used. What was it? What was the liquid substance that God used throughout the Old Testament? Blood. Blood. So DNA is where? In our what? In our blood and our tissue. Where's the blood? It's everywhere. Through every cell in our body. Think about that. There's so much going on inside of us that we haven't given God the glory for. Every cell should scream and cry out to the glory of Almighty God. What is man? Really? Really? What is man that you're mindful of him? God says, I'll tell you what man is. I'll show you what man is. And over a period of time, we get to discover all this stuff. To me, it's amazing. So this is what he did. He said, I'm going to send my son. In Jesus, we know that for the DNA to be complete and fixed, Jesus had to come. And he come, born, brought into existence by a virgin birth. Jesus and his DNA, we know that he's born from a virgin who comes from that line. Her chromosomes is going to be a part of that birth process, but not his father's. His father, Joseph, which is his earthly father, had no part in that. But the Spirit of God moved in her womb. And by a miraculous miracle, provided the DNA. I'm just wondering what DNA it is. Go back to the scroll. Right there. I know here it was started out perfect and we got all this going on, but right here, and now we have Jesus born. He grows up, young man, young adult, an adult, and then he's tempted. He is tempted with all sorts of things against him. All sorts of lies. What does he have to do? He has to maintain that I'm going to go with the word, what it says. Now, how would the temptation be a true temptation if it's not brought back to his tree moment? Every time that Jesus was tempted, the Bible says he condemned sin in the flesh. Think about that. He condemned sin in the flesh. Every tree moment he had to say, no, no, it is written. Every time, no, it is written. Every time he had to go back, and every time he had victory to go with God's word, you know those little machines I showed you earlier and they were fixing? What does it do? The machine does? It splits the double helix. and it repairs. It gets rid of the mutation and repairs itself and spits out an identical gene back the other way. I want you to know that there's a process that happened, that Jesus fixed it again. That's why we must be born again. We're born again. Now, we do this by faith. Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus gives the answer to that. And so that's a process that has to take place in all of us. So we're being repaired. Do you know that we're being repaired? And so when Jesus dies and he's resurrected, when he's resurrected, you got to understand that everything that he had to do, it was paid for. He paid for it on the cross. Father, it's finished. The resurrection is his reward for finishing what he needed to do, and that's repair the DNA and get it back to God's DNA. How many of you know Jesus is bringing it back? He's lining it all back up. So now we have that ability inside of us to say no to the devil. Did Eve say no? No. Did Adam say no? No. Both of them said yes. Did Jesus say no? He said no, 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 no. Now I got the ability to say what? No. So I'm either going to follow what Jesus did and say no, or I'm going to be right back in my true experience and I'm going to give in to the devil every time he lies and gives deception. It's all around. They got a lot of people in the world today saying yes to all sorts of junk out there. And we better stand up against it and speak the truth. How many want to speak the truth about God? How many, no matter what you face, persecution, people going to say things about you and you don't care. You're just going to speak the truth about God. That's what we need to do. Let's stand.